Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm on SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder on how to join us, we have a talk cast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my account there is Paul Franz. So just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, they have a secondary account called FranzGames, spelled the same as the Skype. And that's where I announce this podcast, news, and the various client updates. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and the Google Play Store and also other websites. Some quick news from ADB this week. They have released 57 new ships to Shapeways this past week. Also, new to Warehouse 23 drive-through RPG and Wargame Fault this week was Nexus number 3. Steve Cole was busy working on the Communique Helling Frequencies in Caps Log number 53, at least when it comes to the fiction for Caps Log number 53, as we find out. Shapeways also worked on that, and he worked on Art for Star Armada, which is always good. Still my heart. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates, also the Zinni and Gordon Master Starship books, and Gene actually was busy working on proofreading the Zinni Master Starship books, of course, handling Facebook with almost 4,000 friends, close and personal friends, and managing the Twitter feed. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments, we have the Masters 2018 tournament run by Andrew Koch. Signups are closed, and we're waiting for the tree to be announced. And I just posted just to remind them, hey, knock, knock, hey, are we going to have the tournament or not? Rat 47 actually got completed a while ago, and Platinum Hat 2017 tournament round 2 just got completed. Yes, I finished my game, and I lost. You can't be stopped when you have a Gorn coming, just kind of barreling down on you. Doesn't work. Ted Fay has been waiting for a semifinal on the semifinal round. Is still waiting because it took me a while to get down my round 2 game. So he's not waiting for the round 3 game of Peter Bakia and Paul Graves. Currently, Tim is waiting. Ted is waiting with John Wrigley, who's supposed to play David Zimdars. They will be playing in the semifinal round and to decide who will be playing in the finals. Duh. I just said that. It's like, you know, that's dumb. Because, yeah, if you win the semifinal round, you won't make the goals in the final. Duh. Library progress, there is, when it comes to the library, there actually is not much progress there just because of I haven't actually processed the emails that I've gotten the past week, and I apologize. I've been too concerned with like things like, oh, taxes. But anyhow, we're still at 72.42%, so that's good. I'd like to have that increased. I know part of that will be me in case of like the Andromedan ground force bases. If I can get done those, then we can get them completed all the way. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got me! And we got the chat room, and hopefully we'll have some other people stopping by, because today is a very, very special day. Well, kind of a special week, because the actual day that I recorded the first episode, the very first episode of this wonderful podcast, was in April 10th, 2008. Right now it's April 12th, so it's I consider this my 10-year anniversary. because I've been doing this podcast for 10 years. I can't believe it. I'm sure some of you can't believe it, especially if you join us later on in the history of this podcast, that I actually have been doing it for 10 years. I can't believe I've been doing it for 10 years. Actually, some of the episodes that... Yeah, I know. Russ, didn't give me flowers, didn't send me chocolates. You know, come on. They sent me a card. Jeez. and not an e-card. Don't trust them. Paranoid. Let's leave it at that. But yeah, so I've been doing this for 10 years. Early on, it's still kind of crazy how this podcast goes. I understand it's not the quality. I will admit is not the most consistent, because sometimes I have a really, really long week and it's really tired when I do the podcast, because I always do the podcast 9:30 on a Thursday night. So it's not like, oh, I'm tired, I can put that off till tomorrow, when I'm better, well rested or anything like that. I do this live. So maybe one of these days I might have it so I switch off, but I think people like it that I keep it consistent, that I recorded this set time every single week. Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Now, so obviously it's the 10th anniversary. I'm going to talk about basically the podcast. Some of the things that's happened during the 10 year. That's a bad way of putting it. 10 years of the podcast, from some of the events that have occurred, both when it comes to some of the events that occurred in ADB, some of the events that have occurred actually in this podcast, and some of the things that actually happened in this podcast. That's a better way of putting it. So let's start off. And obviously the chat room, who have Dave and Russ. Yes, Russ, you're welcome. Russ is just thanking me, and they say he's grateful for all my effort. Yeah, understood. Russ is saying that on the occasion I skip a week, it feels like there's something missing. And I understand that, of course, there are if you've listened to me long enough, you know that overall, I try to do a one every single week, but there are some exceptions. Mainly have to do with holidays. That's most of them. Actually, that's one thing I was thinking about today. I was going over, I was like, man, I got 470 some odd podcasts recorded. At least that's the episode numbers. Now, the one thing I remembered that I did do way back in the day, and I have not actually looked at these past episodes, but when I did the recordings for Origins, I didn't actually number them. That I didn't increase the. That's why every time I go into Talk Shoe and I create a new episode, schedule a new episode, the episode number's wrong. So I have to adjust it. But anyway, for the most part, I try to do it every single week. So that's why it's like 470 something. Like, yeah, that sounds about right, given that I don't do Thanksgiving. It's Thursday, and I don't do Thanksgiving, period. Boom. Never. Of course, then we have the whole issue with Christmas and New Year's. That happens, whether if it's New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, just for the plain simple reason that you gotta love this, which is New Year's is exactly 1 week after Christmas, so that means that's a double whammy when it comes to the podcast, i.e., if I take off for Christmas like Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, either one, most invariably, I will not be doing a podcast in the next week, for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I don't remember if I've done any on New Year's Day. I know definitely New Year's Eve, no. And of course, then there's different social responsibilities, whether it is the choir I've been part of for many years now. I don't think I've been part of a choir for 10 years. I might have. And invariably, there's other things that occur where I'm unable to make it. But overall, you know, we have it every single Thursday. And I am more than happy to come and do this podcast every single week. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words. And I'm sure a lot of you who've actually listened to the podcast know that there are those weeks that I definitely struggle with something to say. Because I have not been inspired for that week. Because let's go back a little bit. When we first started this podcast, you know, I came up with these ideas, you know, every week. And then we had the suggestion, hey, why don't you post it up on the discussion board and so people can come up with topics and then you can all discuss and then we can pick up a topic for the week. That didn't work out very well. Because most people didn't seem to be as involved with the podcast to actually submit topics. I'm not sure if you guys know it or not, because I don't think I've ever really mentioned it much, which is, of course, if there is a topic that you want me to discuss, like next ongoing week, assuming it's related to, at the very least, the gaming world as respect to ADB itself, you know, whether that is the computer, you know, computer gaming world or gaming world in general, through some of the trends that are happening within the gaming world in general, because you know, I'm more than happy to pick up those topics. It's a rare bird that it's a rare bird that I actually get an email or anything like that saying, hey Paul, why don't we do this topic or I really, you know, in that case, I would hope people who want to hear about that topic, I'm hoping those people would show up in the chat room or call me in or whatever so that we can have a discussion. Because to this day, and I still want this for this, and it was much earlier on, you know, when people, you know, would show up, more people would show up, and I'll be honest here, that currently we have Trusty Dave, yes, Guest 3 Dave. He's here almost every week. Every once in a while, he has to take a break, and that's fine. It's not like I require him to be here. He's an owner of his own volition, you know. I know sometimes he just hangs out and just listens to my melodious tunes. Why? I don't know. And sometimes also Russ stops by and we get some of the other people. I love to see, Lawson. Michael Lawson, who's one of the, I think it's Mark or Michael, I forget which. Lawson stopped by. I think he was here last week because he's one of the sculptors for the Shapeway stuff, which is awesome. Because of, you know, previously a lot of those, you know, it was a hell of a lot harder to be a sculptor, though. Obviously, with 3D, you have to know 3D modeling quite well. It's Matt. Thank you. Thank you, Russ. I got it. It wasn't Michael. It wasn't Michael. It was Matt. This is why, believe it or not, there's a local restaurant called the Tomcat Cafe in Sinking Spring. It is a wonderful, if you want a good breakfast and you're in the Reading area, you need to stop by there. Now, just a warning, you might have to wait for an hour to get seated. I promise you this, it will be worth your wait. Now, I bring that up for only one reason. And that is because of, there is, I know the names of all the waitresses. I know the owner's name. I know the owner's wife's name. The only reason I know those names is because every single time that I see them, I say their name. Because I am doing a really hard job. I don't remember names that well. So every single time I see a person and I remember their name, I want to say their name just to reinforce that name in my own brain. So that's why I don't remember Matt's, because I don't actually every time I see him, I probably should call him out and say, hey, Matt Lawson's here. Right now, he's not. Just to let you know, listen to the podcast, he's not here. okay. Russ, you cheated because of the past 2 days they've been discussing. The Moriels. Yeah, I just was checked the last day today, and saw that, hey, you know, there's a big long topic on Moriels. I think it's Moriels, right? Actually, I'll bring that up. Yeah, Moriel of space. Yep, which is cool. Because, you know, the original reason I created them, still to this day, I still like the idea, and I'm hoping all people will join us. Now, the one thing that I might have to do, and I would like to do this, but I'm concerned. What I'd like to do is maybe moving from TalkShoe to another platform when it comes to chat. And here's the reason why. And that is, if I can do that, maybe, because the whole, I'm sorry, let's back up. Let's sit down and say what was the goal of this. And that is, I wanted this to be basically a virtual group meeting. Every Thursday night, 9:30 p.m., boom, you come by, We'll talk about Starfleet Battles. We'll talk about Federation Commander. We'll talk about Starfleet Battle Force. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about. You know, because how often do you have a chance to talk about those topics to someone that loves the game? It's rare. Now, obviously, we still have SFB Online, and that is great. And people can I've seen it, because currently I have I call it my test object account. And anyone who's actually been on SFB Online knows that seeing that one just kind of hanging out, and he hangs out forever. And that's basically, I use it kind of to monitor what activity is going on at the moment. I had some other goals that I want to do for that. You know, things like I create a Prowl account. The whole idea is I want to connect it up into my IRC client that I'm using for this, and have it so that if, like, so many rooms are created, well, ping me, you know, send me a notification on my phone. Or more importantly, if someone, like, if they personal message me on, you know, the test object account, that it would notify me and say, hey, you know, someone's trying to get a hold of you, and maybe log in then. And so that's why that account's there. Now, okay. Dave just mentioned that he missed 4 Thursdays this year, 2 in August. He just looked at his concert, his a pile of concert tickets. And hey, if it's a good concert, you know, I'd say go there. just because, you know, that's I'll be here every week. You know, they might not, that band or person might not be there, you know, the next day. I know how concerts go. Stop doing that. Dave's reminding me that one of them will be Lindsay Sterling. I like Lindsay Sterling. I really do. And I'm sure anyone who's listened to the podcast knows I do. Oh, yeah. Russ is saying that he has one of the cast metal steels on his desk since he's been working on the Congers a lot the last few weeks. Cool. But the whole idea was to make this a group. You know, that we can discuss. So, one thing that, there's two ways of going. One is going what a lot of people are doing. And I like the idea for it, actually, believe it or not, which is to register, create a workspace in Slack. And because one really great thing that is nice about Slack is that, one, you can share multimedia stuff, you can share links and all this kind of thing. It's really great interface for that. There's certain things I don't like about it. That is here, and I'll just say this really quick, which is the one thing is that, oh, Slack, you know, you can get away, you know, you can have conversations, and you know, don't let your inbox for mail doesn't fill up. Well, what happens when you start focusing on Slack? Your Slack inbox, you know, your unread Slack channels goes whee. And when do you know when you are missing something or not missing something? So, that's why you know, I would love to move like the channel to Slack, but at the same time, we're on TalkShoe, and if I move it off of TalkShoe, there's other things I have to figure out, which I've talked about this before, which is, you know, have it so that people can call in maybe directly to me. I know that Ken Ray, he actually was able to do it by having another account, and then they would group and actually kind of forward them. So that was quite interesting. But, you know, this whole idea was supposed to be a group that where people can discuss. Maybe Slack might be the solution. You know, I'll just have to wait and see. At the moment, I know Facebook is a really going place when it comes to group conversation about Starfleet battles, you know. So, but anyhow. Steve, is that you? Or is it Gene?
No, it's Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Well, I wanted to come by and congratulate you on 10 great years of your project. And say hi to all the guys. I don't want to do what I usually do and take over your meeting, but did want to come in and say hi to everybody.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I was shocked when I looked at it like last month, and it's like I realized I'm gonna have a 10-year anniversary in a month.
it doesn't seem like it has been that long.
Oh, agreed. It flew by. Something you do every week, you know, it's like clockwork. You know, it's a commitment. For me, it's been a commitment is what it is. You know, short of, you know, the, you know, unusual circumstances other than, well, of course, holidays, I'm here, you know.
Well, everybody appreciates your dedication and your professionalism, your integrity, the fact that you run. I really think if we could get Trump and Pelosi on at the same time, that you are the only one on the planet who could get them to actually talk to each other.
Wow. That would be interesting. I'm up for the challenge. If they want to call me, I'd be happy to moderate.
Well, you let me know if they do, and I want to listen.
That'd be good. Hey, CIA, FBI, if you're listening, you know, contact me.
I think it's actually the NSA, but yeah. What's everybody thinking tonight, or what have you been talking about for the last half hour? I'm sorry I didn't get here on time. I just, there's a huge grass fire about 60 miles from where I'm sitting, but it's right next to Leanna's hometown, and she's got relatives up there. And we've been digging through all the websites trying to keep track of the fire, because at one point there was danger of the whole town burning down, but they managed to stop the fire and Of course, this part of the country, we get these 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds. And when you get a grass fire in a 50-mile-an-hour wind, there's no stopping it.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of California.
The fire itself moves at 25, 30 miles an hour. And they got every fire truck in the county out there and put up a wall and stopped it from burning into the town. But now it's burned on around the north end of the town. It kind of outflanked them. And it's burning off across open country, but there's more towns out there. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm late. Don't need to discuss fires at the moment. I just that was the best excuse I come up with being late.
Oh, that is fine. Hey, family first.
Why don't I take a couple of questions and then get out of here and let you get back to what you were doing?
Okay, Dave or Russ, you got any questions for Steve? And I know Dave was saying hello. But, I have a quick question for you, which has to do with Shapeways. Obviously, it's the biggest thing at the moment that's happening with ADB.
It's the most public thing that's happening.
True.
There's stuff going on internally that hasn't boiled to the point where you guys see it yet. But, you know, Shapeways is something that we're posting stuff every day. We're answering questions every day. Gene's uploading ships every day. And it's, it is the most visible thing we do.
Right. Understood.
Nobody expected it to be that way. But what is your question?
Obviously, you're okay. Is the plan to replace, obviously, and add on to new models that are available for miniatures, the ones that you have never produced before, because it was way too expensive?
Yes, both. It is. We want Shapeways to be a complete line of ships. The metal miniatures have gone as far as they can go. There is no ship left to be done that is economically viable. We actually lost anywhere from $100 to $200 on the last 6 or 8 ships we did in metal. But they were ships we felt like we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them were ships we thought were going to sell better than they did. Shapeways, doing a ship on Shapeways costs us about anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes of Gene's time, which is, and time is money. But what we want to do, it's not a matter of replacing the metal, it's a matter of having two different product lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, we want the Shapeways line to be more complete than the metal line ever was. Obviously, we've done done 100 and something Omega ships. And we've done the fracks, and we've done Christmas ornaments, holiday ornaments, and we've done some other stuff, and we've started to do some variants. We've always been doing some variants, and two of the first 8 ships we did were variants of something. But we, every ship we ever did in metal is going to end up in Shapeways. Not because we want to replace the metal, but because we want Shapeways to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now we're at 699 ships. We kind of got into a situation that we let things get carried away. And when we looked up one day and we'd done 101 ships, we said, okay, what else did we do this month? And Gene said, well, you guys gave me 3 products proofread, and they're still sitting there because I've been doing this all the time. So we decided that we were going to come back to 50 ships a month and give Gene time to get some of these other products off her desk. The Kazini Master Starship book is probably very, very close to going out. We did, partly because of Shapeways, have to do all the art for the dreadnoughts and battleships over again. I think that was yesterday. I think I had a nervous breakdown during it because that stuff is so tedious, and it's so, you know, it's like these puzzles you see in the newspaper of which two of these six pictures are identical, and you're going around, oh, there's a spot there, you know, oh, no, that's a defect in the newspaper. but you have, you know, Steve sits down next to me and he says, okay, now take this ship, save it as this number, and remove those two head racks and go get your Greeble for a drone rack and put it there. And of course what we had to do with the dreadnoughts and battleships was to change all of the rear weapons to be on little winglets. Because nobody had, idiot me, had not bothered looking at the metal miniature, and I had just done them like I did the battle cruiser. So we had to do that one over again, but that one's just about ready to go. Steve's got all of the text of the Gorn book done, and he's in the first or second round of reviews. Jean is working through the GURPS revision, and she's up into chapter 8, I think, maybe 9. I think she's in the technology chapter. She was in my office today about every 10 minutes saying, now, if my transporter is trying to pull a pilot out of a fighter, does the radio in the fighter count as a communicator to get the +2 bonus? And, of course, it does if it's your fighter.
Right.
If it's an enemy fighter, it doesn't. But you can't pull the pilot out unless he turns off the integrity field, which blocks the transporter, because he knows he's going to die and he would just soon be a prisoner of war.
Right.
But then I had to try to explain the military concept of upgripes to Gene. And she said, well, what's an upgripe? And I said, well, your car still works, but the AM radio doesn't. Or the air conditioner doesn't. Or the headlights don't. That's an upgripe. Your car is still combat capable, but some of the stuff on it don't work.
Right.
And in a war situation, we're going to send you off to combat anyway, even if your AM radio doesn't work. But she's going through that, and I've been working on the perennial problem with Captain's Log. Every bloody time is the fiction. we had a story we were going to use, but the guy who wrote it took a really cool monster and wrapped a story about the ISC around it and totally rewrote every piece of ISC history.
Oh!
And of course, Gene blew a fit, and Patrick blew a fit, and I looked at it and said, is that what it says? Oh, my God. So we spent months trying to fix that and finally just set it aside and said, either we'll fix it for next issue or we will throw the story away and keep the monster and write a new story where the Klingons and Gazinis find the monster. Or the Hydrans find the monster, or the Feds find the monster, or something. And if that doesn't work, then I've still got Juggernaut Gamma about half finished, like it has been for 3 years. And I'll just sit down and write the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been trying to do, we've got an interesting little story. And, like, you remember the story we did with the Klingon detective, Krenda, who solved the mystery of the Seltorians? That was, Petrick sat down and wrote an outline, and then I wrote the story through the outline. And Petrick did it again. He wrote an outline about an incident that happens in what we're calling the Outfar, the Liren backyard, where the Klingons have a little survey area they're working on. And I've been trying to create the characters there, and I'm having to kind of define the whole thing of just who do the Klingons send out there? Do they send their very best, or do they send the people nobody wants?
Hmm.
You know, if you've got four carriers that need captains, and you've got 10 captains who want to command carriers, then four of them are going to get carriers. A couple of them may get a job on a battle station. One of them may become an XO of a heavy carrier. But one of them is going to end up running the auxiliary carrier in the Leeran backyard. And he's the guy that, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. We just don't really give a damn if he comes home or not. But he's got a whole crew of people who are either the people who failed selection, they didn't get picked for the good jobs, or the people who screwed up. One of the characters in the story is a very good officer that it just happens that officer's father committed treason.
Ooh.
And in the Klingon Empire, that's kind of bad.
Yeah.
And so this officer gets told, you're no longer wanted on our carrier. Go find another job. And nobody wants this officer. And this officer ends up on a slow boat to the Leeran outback. But, of course, no one knew this officer was coming. So everybody on the auxiliary carrier is thinking, my next promotion is in this many months to that job. And then she walks in and says, well, I'm taking that job. Or the captain says, you're taking that job. And that just screws it. You know, everybody's mad at her because she screwed up the promotion ladder for everybody.
Right, right. And then everybody's out to get her.
Yeah, well, they want her to fail.
Right.
And they're all going, well, your dad's a traitor, so we need to get rid of you right away. And she's going, half the people on this boat have relatives who are traitors. That's why you're out here, you idiots. but it's not quite a penal ship. It's more of a penal colony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, penal ships are kind of glorious. You get a chance to die a hero or get your career back. The people sent out to the Leeran backyard, nobody cares.
Right, but you could die and you'll never be remembered. You'll be lost and you'll be forgotten.
Yeah. And if you do something cool, nobody will care. But it could end up being an interesting story. I know that 2 months from now we get Captain's Log out, and it's going to have a totally different story in it. People are going to go, what was Steve talking about? And it's because this story didn't gel and another one did. Or somebody sends one in, or we remember one in the file, or I decide to write the Juggernaut one.
Mm-hmm.
But that is rather wild and expansive answer to your first question. I'm perfectly willing to skip the second one if you've got other things to do and let you go on back to your meeting.
No,
if somebody out there
has
a question, I would be happy to answer it.
Yes, we actually have two. One of them is Dave was asking, he said that he heard something about you talking to a dice manufacturer. Is that true?
Can't say I remember about it.
Okay.
You know, we get ideas for projects and we talk to people. Now, I have talked to a die cut counter manufacturer.
Hmm.
And we had a product that we ran out of counters, but the minimum print run the old way or the normal way of doing counters is 1,000, and 1,000 is going to be like an 18-year supply. But I don't want the product out of print. So we went to one of these pod people that makes die cut counters and got 100 sheets, which is like 2 years rate of sale. And they cost a lot more, but the way the industry has changed and evolved and moved, distribution in stores is not what it used to be. For one thing, there are very few stores left. Because of the internet, the retail ice age, Amazon, and the online discounters, more and more and more of the favorite local game stores are just going under because they can't compete with the online discounters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, getting closer to some kind of a transition. Don't know what it's going to be yet. But all kinds of projects come up all the time, and we're talking to people, and then it doesn't happen. I don't specifically remember talking to a dice manufacturer anytime recently, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean I didn't do it, or Gene didn't do it, or Leanna didn't do it.
Okay. And Russ was asking a quick question, which is, how's Captain's Log number 53 coming along?
Well, we don't even officially start working on it until the fiction's done.
Ah.
And when I have to create the fiction, you know, the first thing I had to do was get everything else I was doing off my desk. And that's done. And I've been working on fiction now for over a week. I tried to fix the monster story. Didn't work. Took a look at another story and just, it wasn't going to happen. Just a second. Is Misk okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, our cat is doing her nighttime patrol of the backyard, and Leanna had to check on her.
Ah.
I've been working on the Lear and Outback story now for all of this week, and slowly grinding. It's... The whole thing comes down to a battle where they use a really clever tactic, and the battle's the easy part because Petrick wrote it, but I've got to get the characters set up, because when I get into writing the story, somebody's going to screw up, and he's either going to screw up because he's pissed off or because he's incompetent, and I'm still playing around with which way that's going to go. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
I think God is telling me I've talked too much.
Okay.
You got one other quick question, I'll take it. But other than that, I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing. Because Gene gets all over me when I show up at one of your meetings and just take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're your meetings. It's your project. They're your fans. And I'm just the guest star who comes in and attracts a crowd every now and then. But I don't want to run the place. I've got you for that.
I understand, but hey, it's always good to have you stop in every once in a while.
Yeah, I need to do it more often. I just frankly don't remember. Almost forgot this time, but we got done with the fire and it's contained and it's past the town. And I flipped on the bulletin board and forgot about the podcast. Got to get on. Got to go call Leanna. Give me a phone that works. The phone by my chair is broken because the cat kept knocking it off the table.
Oh, geez.
Hey. Well, I've got to buy a new one. I just haven't had time to. I was going to say go to the store, but nobody goes to the store anymore. Everybody goes to Amazon.
Well, I go to the store. I've ordered maybe two things from Amazon in the past six to 9 months.
Oh, God. We probably get, between Leanna and Gene, we probably get an Amazon package every day at the office.
Mm-hmm.
Today we got a big box, and it was Diet Mountain Dew with no caffeine. And because Leanna and I both love the taste of Diet Mountain Dew, but Mountain Dew's got twice the caffeine of Coca-Cola.
Right.
And, you know, it's, 9:20 at night here in Texas. And if I drink Mountain Dew right now, I won't get any sleep. So I have to quit drinking caffeine back, well, about 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, at work, I mix, well, you don't need to know about that, but I'm trying to drink less caffeine because my doctor got all over me about it.
Understood. Yeah, I try to limit my caffeine to only the caffeine that I need to stay awake.
Well, my problem is I have ingested so much caffeine every day of my life from way back when, from, 50 years ago, that my body pretty much doesn't function without caffeine. And that's part of the reason I am who I am is I don't get sleep. I'll go to sleep about 3 or 4 in the morning and wake up at 8 and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not healthy and it's not good. Okay, yeah. Unless you got another question, I'm going to hang up and let you go back to your meeting.
Nope, that's it.
Okay, you take care. We need to try to do this more often. And we'll go from there.
Okay.
You be good.
You too.
Okay, bye.
So we had a nice little visit from Steve, which is that's Steve Cullen, in case you don't know who that is. He's actually the creator of Starfleet Battles, and actually creator of Starfire, if I recall correctly, which then gave everything rights over to Marvin Lamb. Speak of the devil that we mentioned Matt earlier, and Matt's now in the chat room. I was surprised Matt didn't have a question for Steve, though. Somebody tells me he's talked to Steve enough that's like he doesn't have any questions for him that are unrelated to actually a project that he's working on. But anyhow, maybe I'll create a Slack workspace. See if people might be interested in that, obviously, because the great thing about a Slack workspace, which is different from Facebook, is that you don't have to be a member of Facebook, and you can delete that Facebook account. Yay! Because Lord knows, if I could, I would. To be honest, if I could delete my Facebook account, I would. The only reason I keep it is because two major reasons, and one of them is not my wife. Because my wife's there. I could easily, see what she wants. She's been part of Twitter. So, no big surprise there. Actually, I'm checking out this one website called micro.blog. It's actually a paid service. It costs you $5 a month, or you can actually pay $2 a month if you have your own microblog, like something set up on, WordPress. My assumption would be that if you got like a free account, now this is an assumption of mine because I've not tried this. If you set up a free account on WordPress, it might be possible to actually set up that as your microblog site, and then only be charged like $2 for to make that integrated as part of micro.blog. But in the meantime, I've set it up. I'm actually going to do a few. I'm going to call it. Actually, currently it's called paulfrans.micro.blog. If you want to look at it, you can look at it. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick around or not. It says $5 a month, so that's $60 a year. Actually, if they could come up with a once a year subscription, I would gladly do that. If it was like $40 a year, I'd be happy to do that. I've done that. I did that with app.net. I was happy with it. I wasn't there that often. Actually, I like micro.blog better in that it's more of a microblog is what it is. It's not Twitter's not quite a microblog. It's the idea is a microblog, though. I just have a different mindset at the moment for micro.blog versus Twitter. So, if you want to follow me, hey, by all means, go to paulfrans.micro. Actually, no, I don't think you can go to paulfrans.micro.blog. But you can search for me on micro.blog, and you will find me there. I've posted a few quick items. Notice they will not be. You might see some SFB and ADB stuff at some point, but it's going to be more of Originally, the idea was Franzi rants. Just rants about things that I'd like to say, but you know, I want a place to put them. So I figured, hey, it's not really a long a blog. Well, I consider a blog entry that long. That's the whole idea of a microblog. It's just small thoughts, you know, couple sentences, kind of idea. The chat room actually is discussing Russ's monster, which is the one that actually Steve Cole was just talking about, which is the Kraken, it was describing as a octopus with an exoskeleton, which I think is a great idea. And actually, Russ is just mentioning that he's kind of happy that Steve Cole actually kind of pushed his story. Now, Russ, here's the only one thing I have to mention, and that is, you do realize you had no chance. A story that rewrites IC history. I'm not sure that if you knew that or not, because if you knew that and you still submitted it, dude, not going to happen. I understand that when it comes to a writer's perspective, that you want that freedom, and because that's the way it works. Okay, but so you're saying it doesn't? Well, I'm sure you... okay. In that case, it sounds like it's just a difference of opinion. We'll just leave it at that. Because I'm sure that, like, Steve Cole and Steve Patrick see something. Ah, okay. Sounds like okay. In which case, you guys differ on the details. Details that I haven't previously written, but there are some consequences of those details. That's what it sounds like, which is fine. You know, we're not gonna sit here and discuss it. You know, really in long detail. But yeah. So. Getting back to actually the history of this podcast, one of the things that I had the wonderful and fortunate thing to do, and actually even had someone who I got to volunteer for me, which was actually to go to Origins, and we actually early on we actually have some of the sessions, some of the Q&A sessions that Steve Cole did at Origins for, you know, the SFB and also for F&E. Those sessions I actually recorded and I posted them as part of some of the episodes that are actually part of this whole podcast. And I think that was the greatest thing ever. And actually the one year that I could not make it out to Columbus, I forget why. There was a reason. I forget why. But I mailed out my recorder. I bought this Zoom recording, which reminds me, I need to grab that Zoom recorder and find the upgrade, because currently it's an old version of the recorder. It has an updated firmware that you can apply, which then will make it available that you actually can use it with a Mac. Until you get the firmware upgrade and apply that, not so much. But at this point, it's getting pretty old. It still works. You still record it, but I actually had them use that to record the sessions and then have them send it back to me, and then I posted it up after, I think I might have had to convert it a little bit to from WAV files to MP3. Yeah, I think that's what I had to do to get it posted up onto the website. But for the most part, I don't think there was any editing I had to do. I'm not sure if I used Levelator back then, which currently Evelator doesn't work anymore. But, so, you know, that's one of those wonderful things those episodes I know were very popular. I know. I looked at the download numbers. So, but it was, you know, I love those episodes just because I think those are the unique kind of episodes that I really like. Because of, instead of having you sit there and listen to me, you're actually able to hear some of the question and answers that ADB gets, you know, I know a lot of times, obviously, Steve Cole is very popular to have him stop by or get a recording of that session. Those were very popular, and I can understand it. Obviously, I wish I was more popular. I understand that my audience is very small, and I understand that I'm not looking to make this, having millions of downloads. You know, I'm not looking into doing that. You know, I don't expect that because I am dealing with a micro community, a small community of a small community. Let's be honest, because SAP is still relatively a small game. Even if you include SAP, SAP, FedCom, Starfleet Battle Force, GURPS, the Prime Directive stuff. If you include everything on that, we are relatively a small community. If you include everything over the years, people who have played and not played for a while, but overall, how many players, if we go through all, let me see, 30 years, I'm thinking like a million players overall, all history. Now, the current game, the current base, it's a heck of a lot smaller. And then, of course, then we have the smaller portion, which actually are younger than me, or even my age, because I'm 52. I noticed a lot of people who like Starfleet Battles are a little older than I am. There's some people like a little younger than I am. The question is, people younger than that. I know there are some people that actually are, some of the kids that their parents have shown them how to play Starfleet Battles or Federation Commander, and they've been interested. Now, obviously, the gaming industry currently is in a current state that tactical board games like Starfleet Battles aren't that well known. And those people are looking more for online games is what they're looking for. And that's why, as I mentioned, I really want to change it, SAP Online, to be a web-based client so that people can play using just a web browser. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. We all realize, and that's why, I sometimes get over 100 downloads. Usually it's around 50 people, and I thank you, every single one of you, thank you for downloading and listening to my podcast. Again, if you want to contact me, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. If there's anything you want to, there's topics, any ideas that you have yourself that you want to discuss, and hey, as I said, the more the merrier. The chat room is a great place to be during this podcast, and I think most people would love to be part of this podcast, part of the chat room. Because I know Russ and Dave are mostly here almost every single time. Russ sometimes not, Dave every once in a while not. But, and you have Matt. Matt's been coming quite often these days, and I thank you, Matt, for coming. The more the merrier. I really want to have a discussion. I want people to be involved. That's why I'm thinking about at least creating a workspace, maybe even have Slack up at the same time. I've got TalkShoe up and, have a shared conversation. I'm not sure about, Dave, Russ, and Matt. If they'd be willing to try to do the same thing, because I understand that Slack is kind of a new thing. I think Matt might be interested, but I'm not sure about Dave and Russ. But, you know, maybe I'll see, you know, see if anyone would be interested in talking about, you know, SFB, you know, and things like that. Cool. I will create the workspace this week, and I will announce it with the next podcast so that people will know where's the workspace, what's the name of the workspace, and, you know, we'll start creating channels. You know, I'm not going to go crazy with channels. We're going to have probably a few at the moment just because of I don't want spread discussion over multiple things. But we'll add channels as people are interested, you know. And as I said, it's going to be a place where – obviously, the great thing about Slack is just that it retains the history. So you can join a channel, and you can actually look at past history before you actually join the channel. So that's the great thing about Slack. I think that's what people really like about Slack, because you can look back in the history. That's one of the unique things. Now, in some cases, that could be a bad thing, because how long do you keep the history? As is, when it comes to the free version, I'm not sure how long the history stays. And, of course, I think you can export the history, you know, at least the admins, which I would be, because it'd be my workspace. But anyhow, so we'll see how that goes. You know, I will put up links up into Facebook to say, okay, why don't you join our Slack, you know, and see what people are, if people are interested in joining us. I think that'd be great. I'd be willing to kind of have a mirrored session and see how that goes. Obviously, I've had a wonderful time doing the podcast over the past 10 years. Obviously, one of the things that was another one of those unique things that occurred during the history of the podcast was, of course, the Matt Strange of ACTA, you know, fame, you know, ACTA SF, called Arms, is what the product is. And he also says Traveler. But Matt Strange, we actually called him up on a Saturday. I think it was a Saturday morning for us. And we had a nice chat about Call to Arms. And that was fantastic. It was a rare time we actually had a recording, which was not on a Thursday night, because Lord knows, Thursday night, 9:39 our time. He's actually in the UK, so it's like a 5-hour difference. So that would be like 2:00 in the morning. Now, having a beginning time of 9:30 is actually kind of, it's history to a certain degree, because originally we started at 9:00 is what we did for a while. And then some people had problems, like, because they're on the West Coast. It's like, okay, you know, it's because 6:00 was like their dinner, or, you know, it would run up against dinner time. So I said, okay, the farthest I can push it back is 9:30, because 9:30 means I can, it's not too late for the East Coast, and it can, and people on the West Coast actually could join. It's going to be relatively soon. It wouldn't be too late in the night. You know, it wouldn't be too early in the night. So, you know, that's why I, you know, decided on 9:30, because, you know, I was pushing for the greatest demographic of people. Next week, I'm not sure if I could get Trump and Pelosi together, but hey, one always can try. That would be weird, trying to contact both. Actually, is Pelosi on Twitter? Because that would be interesting. Because tweet them both and say, hey, I'd be happy to moderate a discussion between you two. That'd be interesting. But anyhow, the podcast, you know, has actually, for most part, has stayed true to what it always has been, which is we pick these topics, and these topics are ideas. This is what it comes down to, if you really think about it. Yes, I talk about squirrels. Yeah, Russ is mentioning that, and talk about squirrels too. That's good. Yeah, because invariably, that's why the topics are mere suggestions. And if anyone who's actually looked at the discussion board post that I post every single week, whether it's a little later than others, like tonight I posted a little late, like a little bit after 9 o'clock, but always the thing that I put it down at the very top bottom is note: topics are subject to change without prior notice, and that means whenever I feel like it, I will change the topic. And because normally I have these ideas for topics because of what's happened in the previous week, whether it's an A to B or just some of what's been happening in my own life, you know. So that's why we get the topics that we do. I know we have discussed in the past some other ideas about having shows more structured, you know, have people that you invite to talk about different topics, and so forth. And to be honest, I rarely have the time to devote to that kind of thing. And that's why invariably it comes up with, okay, what's the topic for tonight? And sometimes invariably I'm trying to think of a topic the day of, to be honest. Sometimes actually I get inspiration for the topic on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you know, sometime early. It's like, okay, I know what the main topic's going to be. And because I'm really excited about it, because of invariably some of the ideas have come from like three moves ahead. Another one that I listen to is called Release Notes. And one thing Release Notes have been talking about as of lately is basically the website. And one of the things that I realized I need to do for like Starfleet Warlord to grow my user base when it comes to that, so people can enjoy Starfleet Warlord more. It's I need to like have a beginner's landing page. I need to have this whole process to onboard beginners, which is one of the things that I'm hoping with Tim Uick that has been helping me with writing a beginner's rule book. And that's why I want to create Starfleet Warlord Lite. This whole idea is it's a beginner's game that has the basics of Starfleet Warlord and something that actually I can implement from scratch and have it, you know, have that part. So, you know, things like that where I get the inspiration to talk about those subjects. Obviously, some of the subjects have been ones that are kind of fun. What happens? You know, like in the case of some of the subjects that we've done in the past, like what is your favorite ship? Because everybody has like a favorite ship. Like one of my favorite ships, and believe it or not, it's not an Andromedan ship because Andromedans rule. And that is, anyone who's listened long enough knows this, which is the Klingon B-10T. The Klingon B-10T, which I think it's one of those mishmash, kind of thrown together kind of ships, but I love it because of that's the way it is. Because of I like the uniqueness of that ship. It's like, wow, that's so that's cool. That's why it makes it so cool. Is that uniqueness about that ship? You know, because invariably, come on. Anyone who played Starfleet Battles, what's the one thing that one people have, at least to me, is that you get bored of the cookie cutters, of the cookie cutter ships, which is, you know, just take the, you know, have each empire have their own, let's say, war destroyer. And all the war stories look the same. Same amount of power, same amount of internals, same kind of weaponry to a certain degree, except for, you know, it's Empire specific weaponry, and that's what you tie it on. Then that there you got your War Destroyer. Yep, Dave. That's why I love that B-10T. But you know, so that's why I love the B-10T so much. Which, you know, as Dave mentioned, it's a B-10 boom with a tug hole, and then battle pods on the bottom of the tug hull, which is, I think, awesome. You know, because that when Starfleet Battles was created, that's one of the things that was kind of cool, which was, if you compared the Federation ships to the Klingon ships, if you said a destroyer, in, you know, for Klingon, the destroyer is called the F5. Is it actually a destroyer? It's, compare that to the destroyer of the Federation. It's a much better ship than destroyer of the Federation. You know, because, but that's what I like. That's one thing I like, which is a destroyer is not a destroyer. It's a destroyer. I.e., you can do single ship battles. I hate that idea that everyone takes the destroyer and we're just going to have these single battles where we're just one on one. It's like, I hate that. It drives me freaking insane. Now, because the question always comes to being, and that is, realistically, in the Starfleet universe, would that actually happen? Most probably not. Because they wouldn't just be facing each other in the middle of nowhere. I understand that people like to do that kind of thing, but I hate it because of it limits the uniqueness of each empire. It's if each empire has to have this. Now, that's another one of those things that I loved about the Federation. Federation said, oh, nope, no PFs. No PFs for you. And they said, okay, we're not going to do PFs, but we're going to have these awesome, awesome fighters. These really huge fighters. It's still, you know, one or two people flying this fighter. Maybe two people because it's so large. But it's not going to be a fully, you know, self-sufficient starship. And so, sorry, I got distracted by Dave saying maybe if you knew how to drive, the old ladies wouldn't do that to you. Yeah. But yeah, I love having empires that say, okay, well, these are the design decisions that we've decided. What, you know, in the case of the Tholians, I love the Tholians. You know, the original Tholians that came in, yeah, they had destroyers, yes, they had quote unquote dreadnoughts. But if you look at the dreadnought that they have, it's like, that's pretty pathetic of a dreadnought. But What was the limitation that they had when they first came into the Milky Way? Well, one of the things that they had an issue was that they didn't have the technology which they left behind. So everything was based off of PC hull, which then they went, okay, if we just take the two hulls and we just weld them together, boom, we got a bigger ship. You know. To a certain degree, that's what it seems like. Because if you looked at all the ships back then, that's what they were. But that was that was great. That made them really, really unique in design. Because there are always these pieces of different things. You know, so that's, you know, that's why I like that. sorry, I went off on a sidetrack there. But you know, that's the kind of things that, and just prime example of what happens on this podcast, where I get on topic and I go, you know, obviously I love the Andromedans, and we've discussed them many times, including the drums in the Federation Commander, which they're not the same Andromedans. Because just the way the rules are done, they accentuate different aspects of the Andromeda. In some cases, there's certain things you can't do as an Andromeda anymore. You know, the whole thing with toggling the panels, the whole energy management, that kind of went out, for the most part, out the window. With Federation Commanders, you still have the kind of energy management issue to a certain degree. You still have the batteries and things like that. But you don't have the ability to toggle things and go, okay, I'm going to toggle these panels so I can dump them and then bring up a breast shield. Boom. No, you can't do that. Federation Commander, you really can't do that. So anyhow, we've covered an array of topics on this podcast. In 10 years, we have covered them all, but I don't think we have. Obviously, there's certain things that have not been as well covered. For example, Federation Empire. I know we've tried to bring in some people that are more knowledgeable of Federation Empire so we could discuss it a little more. And also, we've done some stuff with the Battle Force, of course. That's like number three. Obviously, number one is Starfleet Battles. Second one is Federation Commander. Third one, when it comes to game, I'm talking about games, the Starfleet Battle Force. Those are the three games that I play the most. Obviously, we haven't done much topic when it comes to Prime Directive, and that's just because I don't really play it. Obviously, one thing I've been excited about, and you guys know it, Starmada, and that version, and I got to reread the rules because I'm hoping that with some of the control that AB has brought forward, has exerted on the process for like ACTA and the call to arms stuff, that same will be true for Starmada. That might be true, Russ. Russ is mentioning, just giving a rundown of the topics for this evening, including Trump and Pelosi, which is a minor topic, I think. The four things that make SFB great. Yeah. Well, I think, we need to wrap this up because I still have lots to do and I still need to wake up tomorrow morning and get things done. Even though I'm taking the day off work, I am still, there are certain things I have to do for work before I can take off the day of work. Yeah, I'm kind of goofy like that. In theory, I could probably let it go, but I won't. So we had a nice little talk about some of the history of the podcast, some of the things we've done. You know, had a nice stop in from Steve Cole, which is always nice. This is some of the topics that we've talked about, some of the topics we've covered, and as I said, some of the history. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.